This morning we're going to look at the Word of God together, Matthew chapter 5, another portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is verses 33 to 37 in Matthew chapter 5. It's on the sermon note sheet in your worship folder, or it's in the Bible at Matthew chapter 5. That's after chapter 4 and before chapter 6. What page does it say? Is anybody looking at the page? 802. In a Bible in front of you, if you brought your own, it's probably not on page 802. Okay? So, Jesus is speaking. He's giving his sermon. This sermon is so well known, even people who don't think of themselves as religious know the phrase Sermon on the Mount, and even portions of it. And so this is what Jesus says there at verse 33. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, he's speaking of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy in particular, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. And do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Lord, open our minds to the scriptures this morning and help us to see the relevance of these few verses and how dramatically they can impact our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Today's scripture passage gives the fourth of six illustrations that Jesus used to depict how a son or a daughter of the kingdom of God lives in the world. Here, Jesus speaks truthfulness and integrity of speech. He speaks of these two things, truthfulness, integrity of speech. And this is a subject that is entirely relevant for us today because we live in a time when truth-telling is often trampled on by greed or cowardice or some other form of selfishness. Everywhere we look, we see this internationally in the news coverage of smiling diplomats who are making treaties together, posing for the camera. They have no intention whatsoever to keep the treaties that they write and present to one another. Most people believe nations will honor their word only when that serves their best interest. International politics seems to be or have become the art of lying and looking good while doing it. But we don't need to travel abroad to encounter a lack of integrity among people. Almost everywhere we look, we can see individuals who do not keep their word or who deliberately mislead others for the sake of their own personal gain. We know the ugliness of this. Why? Because we ourselves have felt the sting. And it hurts. We feel used, or we feel disrespected, or we feel imposed upon. It tends to make us less trusting of other people around us. And this is true in business. This is true in the community. This is true, sadly, at times in the family unit or extended family. This is also true at times even in the church. And so Jesus comes along and he says simply, this should not be the case with you. This should not be the way it is with you as an individual. The world may act like that, but you must be different. In order to be salt and light, you must be a truth talker. And so as you think of this message, I don't want you to necessarily just say, well, this is for fathers. It's Father's Day. No. No, 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 no. It is for fathers. And we'll see how that relates later. But this is for everyone. You need to just see God saying to you, you need to be committed to the simple truth. Not swearing on a stack of Bibles, or I swear on my mother's grave, or any other fancy saying that you can come up with to make it seem like you really are sincere or interested. Jesus says, simply let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And so Jesus brings up the subject of oaths or vows because in the Old Testament, specifically the book of Deuteronomy, Moses writes this on God's behalf. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. Not only were the Israelites encouraged to make vows and oaths, but they were encouraged to do this in the name of God, the Creator God. However, Moses repeatedly emphasizes the importance of the people keeping the vows they make in God's name. Repeatedly, he does this. Two examples. Leviticus 19. Moses says, do not swear falsely by... Moses says this for God. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Numbers chapter 30. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he says. Vows were assumed. Vows were even expected. But once they were made, they were not to be broken. The problem was that in Jesus' day, this traditional biblical teaching had come under massive abuse, far-ranging abuse. Somewhere along the line, rabbis began to teach that an oath was not binding if it didn't include God's name or imply it. And so people took that instruction and they ran with it. They would swear by their head. They would swear by their house. They would swear by their good name. They would swear by heaven. They would swear by earth or Jerusalem. And on and on and on. They would not necessarily swear by God's name and authority, and they thought, therefore, they could back out of it if what they had said became inconvenient. Today we would call them, in some circles, spin doctors. Or politicians. But the truth is, what happened is, truth became scarce. There became a shortage of it. Who could be believed? When you have so many men, so many women, always looking for loopholes, for a way to get out of an obligation or a covenant or an oath that they had made. And Jesus comes along, and he's not contradicting Scripture by saying, I say to you, don't make any laws or don't make any oaths. He's not contradicting Deuteronomy. It's a use of overstatement where he's saying, wake up. Realize that if you just tell the truth, you wouldn't need an oath. If you just tell the truth, you don't need a stack of Bibles. If you just tell the truth, you don't need to bring your mother's grave up or whatever else you swear by. Jesus says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Why does he say that? Because so many people are using oaths in such a way that they're trying to connive and mislead and take advantage of others. And Jesus said, this must not be how you live your life. Not as a salesman, not in business, not as a husband, not as a wife, not someone in the community. If you're telling the truth, you don't need to make a vow. And so that's the way you need to live. And so you ask yourself, as you go about your week, in business, in family, in the community, doing your taxes. So many little things. We have opportunity to stretch the truth, to come up short of the truth. So many different situations. Are we truthful people? Are we telling the truth? Are we living the truth? Or are we looking for loopholes? This entire passage dealing with anger or murder or lust or adultery or divorce, remarriage, faithfulness, fidelity, it's all about challenging men primarily to quit looking for loopholes and to live honest to goodness before God. Now you may ask the question, well, how does this relate to parenting? Well, it relates in every way you can imagine. I want you to think about this. This entire passage, this entire Sermon on the Mount, deals in essence with integrity. And so Jesus is saying this, practice integrity in your emotional life. How you handle your anger, you need to practice integrity with your emotions rather than lashing out at people you love, people you work for, people that work for you. Even your pets should not be the recipient of your unbridled anger. You should have integrity with your emotional life. You should practice integrity with your sexual thoughts and choices. And so you surrender that area of your life, your sexuality, and how it is expressed to the Lord who created it. Anger, lust, adultery, the idea of faithfulness in marriage. And I don't mean just adultery or sexuality, but I'm talking about faithfulness in the sense that you are constantly present for your husband or your wife. The covenant that you made with them to be wedded till death do you part, you stand by that. You have a mindset as a person that I am committed to my wife, I am committed to my husband, I will be with them a constant presence until I die. I will not put anything in this world above them. And so if I practice integrity in these areas that Jesus is mentioning, my emotions, my sexuality, my marriage, and parenting, then what happens? I'll tell you what happens. This consistency produces stability. And stability for a child says this, I know what to expect here. That's what stability produces. A child who knows what to expect. There are times when I listen to young people here and I hear conversations. I do have ears. You may think I'm on my way somewhere or I'm thinking about something else, but I do listen. And this is kind of a funny thing. But I hear kids talking sometimes about, should I talk to my parents about this? Should I ask my parents? And I hear this once in a while. Well, I know what my dad's going to say, so I'm just not going to ask him. Because I know I'm not going to be allowed to do that. The consistency of the family dynamic, the family rule, the family standard has registered in this young person's mind, and they know, not a chance. I'm kind of out on this one, and the older a child gets, whether they want to admit it or not, they realize it's for their own good. Now, the flip side of that can be true as well, where a young person says, hey, I'm going to talk to my parents about this because I think they're going to love the idea and I think I'm going to get to do that. That's why we have so many people going on missions experiences here in this church, because people have grown up or watch their children grow up. They've spent enough time in this congregation that they see year after year after year after year that because of strong leadership here at Trinity, we produce very positive and meaningful and life-impacting opportunities for young people to do missions work. And that's why it just keeps growing and growing and growing. All right? The stability is powerful. This consistency produces an awareness. I know what to expect. I want you to track with me, because this stability then produces security. And a child thinks to themselves, I not only know what to expect, but I'm safe here. Stability produces security. A child says, I'm safe here. And it doesn't stop there. Security produces trust, where the child understands, I'm loved here. It doesn't mean that the two agree all the time. It just means that there's a sense of consistency, stability, security that leads to trust and awareness, where the child says, I'm loved here. Now, this trust produces the best quality of all, in my opinion, as a parent. This trust produces an openness where a child reasons, I can talk here. My opinion is valued here. I'm safe here. I'm loved here. I can talk here. The older I get, the more I realize that my parent is giving me an opportunity to express my own opinion and contribute to the overall decision making and life of the family. And the child realizes, the older that they get, this parent whose life is who is characterized by consistency, stability, security, trust, openness. This parent communicates to the child, as they grow older, you are becoming an adult, and ultimately you will be released. And so this openness creates a level of communication where you actually have children who have then adult relationships with their parents, and they desire that relationship. They may move to California, but they still desire the relationship. And so track that with me. Consistency to stability, stability to security, security to trust, trust to openness. Openness produces opportunities to solve problems, to pursue God-ordained visions for children. Children grow up and they are always asking the question, who am I and how do I fit in to the whole scheme of things in society? How has God made me, and where is it that I can be a difference maker? Every child's different. Kathy and I have 4 children. They are all very, very different. And so you have to give them the flexibility and the opportunity to be who they are and who God created them to be. I know what to expect. I'm safe. I'm loved. I can talk. I can solve problems. And so some of you have very young children. What does that mean? It means that you're a cop. Okay, now cops at times have to make arrests. All right? And as a parent of a young child, you realize there are sometimes that you place that small child in jail. Because if they continue to do what they think they want to do, they're going to kill themselves. Okay, I can remember when my children were very young, and we lived on a plot of 20 acres that a church owned, and the hill went down to a very busy street, very busy road. And I remember walking them to a telephone pole and say, this is the line. And I would make them stand on the line and look back at our property, which was the church's property. And I would make them say, look how much room there is to roam. And we would all say it, look how much room there is to roam. And I kid you not, there was 20 acres, trails everywhere. There was so much to do that way. And then we would turn around and I would just say one word, don't go past this line. All right, this is where you end up in jail. All right, you're a cop, right? You have a small child, that's who you are, you're a cop. As your child grows, then you become a coach. Your children are growing, their cognitive develop, their cognitive development is expanding, and you want to coach them. You want to give them opportunities to make decisions, to try and fail. All right, the more you let them try and fail as a younger, late elementary, junior high student, the better off you are. And so they're exploring the world. They're exploring life. And you're watching from a short distance, and you're coaching as time goes on. But then they grow to a point where you're not a cop, you're not a coach, you become a consultant. Those children are making decisions on their own. They're moving out, they're going to school, they're getting jobs, they're buying houses, they're getting married, they're having kids, and you're a consultant. And consultants don't call clients, really. Clients call consultants. Some of you sitting here are consultants. And, you know, you get those calls. And as parents who are parenting grown children, you realize that you're no longer welcome to make the kind of decisions and say the kind of things that you once did. And those consulting years will tell you something about how you did, what you did during the COP and coaching. And that's when, I know for myself, you realize some things that maybe you didn't do so well, and you apologize for them. You ask for forgiveness. You acknowledge to your grown children that, you know, there's some things I didn't do so well, and I need you to know that, and I would like you to please forgive me, because I don't want anything to come between us. I don't want any resentment to create a scenario where you would rather avoid me than hang around with me. And that's hard, because you look at your life in the rearview mirror and you realize I cannot go back and change that. I can't undo that. I simply have to humble myself before my child and acknowledge that what I did in those situations was not right. Every single parent who has reached that stage is in that scenario. It doesn't mean you go around apologizing all the time, but it does mean that because of integrity, your children, your grown children, recognize, listen, my parents have mellowed, they've become more humble, they've become affectionate in the sense, and loving in the sense that they're drawing me into the relationship and desiring that relationship, and they realize they've not done it right all the time with perfection, and there's a winsomeness about that. And so as you're a consultant, you're still, see, this whole idea of consistency, stability, security, trust, openness, opportunities, that happens your whole life. This morning I got a text from Matthew Robert Friedland at 8 o'clock. It said, "I love you, Dad." And I thought to myself, I've never known Matthew Robert Friedland to hardly be awake at 8 o'clock his whole life. And I wondered if there's a way to do a text and then delay the sending of it. You know, I got to call him about that one and say, just like, were you really up at 8 o'clock this morning? You know, I texted him back and I said, thanks, bud. I love you too. How's it going? And he must have been awake, because he sent me a video about things that he would like to do with me today, and that'll be just between us, depending on whether you're Cavaliers fans or not. But here's what I'm trying to get at, okay? If your children, men, grow up and then have an adult relationship with you, and you as a man are committed to truthfulness, the respect just keeps rising, regardless of your past sins. Because I don't know a person really who doesn't want a tender, loving relationship with their parent. And so you may be here today and thinking, you know, I think I've just tipped the scale so far. There's the point of no return. I disagree. There's never a bad time to make a commitment to be a man of integrity, to give Jesus the keys to your emotional life. Give Jesus your anger. Give Jesus your sexual baggage. And decide, I will not live a life of immorality, not in my mind, nor in my life, in my walk. And give Jesus your marriage, where you decide, I will not put up with just coexisting in my home, but rather I will pursue intimacy, affection, and a friendship and a deep relationship that is tender in every way with my spouse. And because of that, children will see something that they desire and won't be so afraid of marriage. They also, gentlemen, learn how to treat women. Men will learn how to treat women based on how you treat your wife. I remember growing up and knowing full well that if I disrespected my mother, if I sassed my mother, or whatever word you want to use, if I put her out in any way, I was in danger of dying. My dad was like that. He, you know, we could like spar, my dad and I. None of that includes his wife. You know, it's that idea of don't mess with my wife. You know, it all of a sudden she's not my mother, she's his wife. And in the family, I think we need to live like that. And so, fathers, let me challenge you and encourage you and give you hope here. I don't care what's in your past. I believe that today, if your commitment will be to practice integrity, truth in your emotional life, in your sexual life, in your married life, in your parenting life, you seek the truth, you seek integrity, you seek to be a servant, you're going to create stability and security and trust and openness and great opportunities to help your children become all that God wanted them to be. And it all starts with the idea that I'm just going to be a man of my word. Jesus needs us to be salt and light. And there's never a bad time. It's never too late to decide, that's the way I'm going to live. That's the way I'm going to live my life. Maybe you have some apologizing to do. Maybe you have some things to make right. Whatever. You just decide, this is the way it's going to be for me from here on out. That's going to be what I strive for. And believe me, if you do that without trying to put a spotlight on yourself, you just humbly say, this is what I'm going to do. You don't make like this big announcement today after lunch. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying you humbly, quietly, you don't say, hey, everyone, I want you to know on Father's Day, I'm turning over a new leaf. You know, and you just get rolling eyes. Yeah, yeah. You know, this is how many leaves do you have? Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just quietly, humbly, you say, God, I need to do this. It needs to be real, and it needs to be one decision, one choice, one day at a time, to the glory of God, not so that I can get something from other people. Let's pray. Lord, we know that without you, we cannot live in the way that Jesus wants us to live. In and of ourselves, we do not have the will and emotional, spiritual resources to obey in this regard. And so our desire is to be poor in spirit and to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to have his control and power over us that we might walk in truthfulness and integrity. Bless each man here, each father, especially today, but everyone, honestly, that we might walk in a way that brings credibility to the gospel and blesses the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.